Okay, we'll call this meeting to order for Wednesday, January 3rd, start of a new year. And so we have a quorum, and it's just appointing the chair and vice chair of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners.
It's that time of year.
Mr. Chair, I would nominate Commissioner Doug Hunt to serve as the chair of the BOC for calendar year 2018.
I don't know, I might hold up and see what kind of deal I could get right here.
What are you offering?
I'm going to follow the good leadership we've had.
How do I turn that down? Okay, I second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, and
motion for vice chair.
A motion for vice chair is...
Mr. Chair, I'll move to nominate Commissioner Bill Hall as Vice Chair of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners for the calendar year 2018.
Okay, second?
I'll second that, I guess. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
So do we move things now, or do we...
Well, I think you can go ahead and run this meeting, and then Commissioner Hunt will take over at the next meeting as
I'm comfortable
as the chair.
With your ability to run the meeting one more time.
And yeah, we will also...
I don't know if I like the way he said that.
He didn't say one last time.
I'm the oldest commissioner.
Yeah,
chair.
In both in point of service and... No, I'm sorry.
Okay, let's get down to recognitions and proclamations. We have an employee's recognition for Carmen Givet.
She apparently is not here, but she has served us in the tax office for 20 years.
And so the road department, actually. That's
right. That's where she started.
In the road department.
Really?
In the front office, yes, and then moved a number of years ago to the tax office.
And small world that it is, she was a high school classmate of mine in Portland, as far as I know, my only high school classmate who works for the county.
Adams High School.
John Adams High School, yes. Correct.
And... we have new, Bridget's not here, so we have new hires.
We thought there were going to be at least a couple, but
we thought they were.
Apparently.
Okay. Well, in that case, we'll move down to consent calendar. Consent calendar, things of a routine nature, or we've previously heard.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
If I may. We've got one item on the consent calendar. I know it's not our usual format, but someone is here to present on it. Diane Lynn, the Executive Director of Proud Ground, a community land trust, which has been providing staffing for the Lincoln Community Land Trust these past few years. And, well, it's the amendment to the contract between the county and Proud Ground is... pretty minor in nature, really. We just thought that this would be a great opportunity for Diane to share some exciting news on the progress and some new momentum for the land trust. So if you're agreeable, I would like to invite Diane to come forward and talk a little bit about this. Please.
Good morning. Wonderful to be here. My name is Diane Lynn. I'm Executive Director of Proud Ground and been the Managing Director of the Lincoln Community Land Trust for the last about 3 years, thanks to Commissioner Hall's leadership and the leadership of the Board of the Lincoln Community Land Trust. I'd like to share news from our discussion with the City Council at the City of Newport just last night, a unanimous vote in favor of this amendment. It is a minor amendment, and we will be in the process of communicating with you more in the coming months about an integration we're planning between the Lincoln community, the Lincoln Community Land Trust, and Proud Ground, because we're really thinking that it's going to be a better way to serve the community, the families here, to get them into permanently affordable home ownership. As we leverage our resources between what we can provide from Proud Ground, we're the largest community land trust in the state of Oregon, and we've been working in the Portland metropolitan area and actually Clark County for the last many years. We have over 275 homes in our portfolio, and we're looking to expand statewide. One of the things we've been working very hard in the last 3 years on is advocacy at the state level, and many of you have served and know how important it is to get the state of Oregon engaged in investing more and helping people not just rent, not just have subsidized rental opportunities, very important too in the continuum, but also once and for all get into their own homes and own those homes for the duration. And if they do resell into the future, those homes can be resold at an affordable level to families well into the future. That's why they're permanently affordable. The amendment here today in front of you is to allow the Lincoln Community Land Trust Board of Directors to assign all the responsibilities, obligations, and assets from the nonprofit here in Lincoln County to Proud Ground, the statewide nonprofit, so we can use our capacity to access, most importantly, the bond product, the Oregon bond product. It's a mortgage product for families. And it's about 1% less than what they could find through USDA or some other mortgage providers here in the area. That makes a big difference for families. That's up to and maybe even more than $200 a month. And when you're working at a, you know, below 80% of median income in a community like this, that's a huge difference. We're going to be bringing resources from the federal government through SHOP, which is a it's really a self-help sweat equity program at the federal level. We're going to be bringing subsidy pool funds from Proud Ground in the Portland area, and we're matching that with some resources that were really saved over the last 3 years to really just go directly to the families in the form of down payment assistance. The formula is relatively simple, while the model is a little bit more complicated, and we're hoping that we can talk more with you into the future about how this works. But the price of a home on the market, whether it's brand new or we purchase it on the market or the family does, that's up here. What the family can really afford is more like down here. We're filling that gap with subsidy from all these different sources. And when they can get into an affordable mortgage, they can stay there for good, raise their families, and really thrive in the community. And remember, it's an investment not just in that one family. It plays out well into the future and can be family after family. It's really a kind of a permanency and perpetuity. So we're really looking forward to providing you with some information about how hard we've worked in the last 3 years to bring these investments to Lincoln County. And I think because of the LIFT program at the state level, we're really able to start talking about requesting even more money. We did win the day with the legislature around the $80 million Q bonds that were established for affordable housing statewide over the biennium. 20% are set aside for home ownership, I think for the first time in history, where that money can go into communities like this and stay here for the long haul, get people out of the cycle of kind of being transitional in their housing needs and let them settle in for good and raise their children, plant gardens, have pets, do all the things all of us really appreciate about home ownership. So we'll be making an application, just as one example, with Wildler Development. And most of you know, I'm sure, is building homes in South Newport. And hopefully this year, if not this year, next year, we'll get in the cycle to bring in some subsidy to make at least six to those brand new homes permanently affordable as they build into the future. And that's just the beginning. We're hoping to apply for more funds here.
So, Mr. Chair, I think you and Commissioner Hunt are aware from our past discussions, but for people watching who haven't heard about the land trust before, I think it's one of the most important things they need to understand. You know, there are other programs, other efforts to help homeless, to help working poor. This is really the one model we've been able to find that's going to provide home ownership needs to, you know, teachers, nurses, public safety people, the people that we really consider middle class working families who don't have a chance at home ownership now. And the other big thing, Diane, if you wouldn't mind sharing, it's in your memo to us, but for the benefit of the audience here and on the camera, that after just having two homes in the local portfolio for a long time, we've actually got several in the pipeline right now.
Thanks to, again, Commissioner Hall's leadership and the work of a lot of people here in the local community, including the city council members of both Lincoln City and Newport, we were able to create 5 buyer-initiated, which means the families really initiate the process, down payment assistance grants. They're out in the field, three here for Newport and 2 up in Lincoln City. We'll be able to bring between $54,000 and $62,000 to those families, which is really their down payment. And remember, that eliminates the need for private mortgage insurance, which is also an expense. No more than 38% of the family's income can go towards their mortgage and all their household costs, including property taxes and insurance. It really works, because throughout the entire recession, we didn't lose a single home to foreclosure because we set families up for success. 2 families here in Newport have already been pre-qualified. 1 has already made an offer on the first home. What we're going to do this spring is hopefully come back with some real results, maybe even introduce the families that are now in these homes. It's a game changer for these families, and I think over time, as you build the portfolio, it changes the nature of the community, because then you have affordable units out to the future for families.
The permanent affordability, that's key.
So I've been around government, I've been around these kind of businesses for years, and the one thing that fails is maintenance. So what do you have in this program to make sure that these people maintain the property? Because if they don't maintain it, you can run down a piece of property and you as a land trust loses on it. Mm-hmm. What kind of stipulations do you have there to make sure that this property stays maintained?
Mm-hmm. Very good question. First of all, we have real strict criteria for the quality of the homes that we identify for the program. They have to meet some energy efficiency criteria, and they have to be in decent condition going in. And that means they have to have durability as part of their condition. So we evaluate all that. Going in, the home's in good shape. That's critically important. And we factored in some rehab and improvements as part of the program costs going in. That's factored in also. Over time, we have an ongoing relationship with these homeowners because they're part of the Community Land Trust nonprofit, and they pay us a small land lease fee because technically we own the land under their homes. It's really a partnership. If people miss payments, if they're having challenges or issues, what we do is a lot of post-purchase support to families so that when they need something like roof repair or anything like that, we can help them find the resources to rebuild critical parts of their homes. There's HIDAs, which are home improvement IDAs. You remember that program, individual savings accounts, that can be matched over time that we can bring to families to be sure that they have that money kind of saved up and matched for a really big, important infrastructure issue in a home, like a roof or a basement or something like that. You know, our experience with this, Chair, is that it's really worked very well that families take care of their homes. They own them just like we all, you know, many of us have the great gift to do is own our homes, and they're invested in them. Because they make 25% of the increase in value from the day they purchase the home to the day they sell, if they ever sell, and most families stay put and give the homes to their children, they have a vested interest in the value of what the value of the home is. So we find that families really do take care of their homes, and they're supported in that. You know, with the rising percent of the income people are spending on just rent or homes that they really can't afford, 40%, 50% of their income sometimes, that money can go back into the maintenance of the home in this case, because they can't really spend more. We just can't allow families to go into the program with any more than 35 to 38% of their income on just their basic, you know, mortgage and rent.
Well, it isn't just families. I mean, it's government, too. I watch it government all the time.
This is a 501c3, so in this case, it's not government.
But I
understand when you say government, government-owned house.
Yes.
Other facilities, too. I mean, we squeezed here for many years, and you were the one who always kept pushing us to get caught up, and we finally have. Yeah. But
it's taken us a long time, and if they ever get behind, I wondered if there was any kind of inspection to it to make sure that a house stays at a certain standard.
Is it fair to say that's part of the ongoing relationship?
We have a lease agreement with the families, and we do have the right to inspect and the right to check. If there was any issues, we can do that. I'm very familiar as a former county commissioner myself in Multnomah County. The deferred maintenance can be a huge issue. Mm-hmm. And
it's the easiest place to cut.
Right, exactly. I remember that very well. And we do have a responsibility to be sure these homes are permanently durable and available for the next income-qualified family. And in the worst-case scenario, and there's been a few where family just didn't quite pull it out, we really help them resell. Progren is a brokerage, and we really work with the community to make sure they can resell, in which case we can upgrade the home and sell it to the next.
This sounds like a program that's bound to work if we keep the relationship there. So,
and if I could, Mr. Chair, I know we've spent a lot of time on this, but just one other important point. Diane mentioned that the local nonprofit will be integrating into the state nonprofit, and people may wonder if a local voice is going to continue, and the answer to that is a resounding yes. As of this month, I'm joining the board of directors for Proud Ground, the statewide nonprofit, and we're still going to keep a local committee, oversight, and advisory committee in Lincoln County as well. So definitely local voices will guide what Proud Ground does in Lincoln County.
Well, I'll take a motion then, since this is a consent calendar item.
I move for approval of the consent calendar.
And I'll happily second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you for coming.
Thank you all very much.
Dan, are you able to stay or do you have to get back?
No, I can.
Okay, consent. Okay,
so we move back up to new hires. Bridget, do you want to come up and tell us about your group? And that's under item 3.
Sorry, we stopped by planning before we came here. So, he had a great,
if he can't come and make this meeting longer, he's going to make it from the outside.
I'm surprised we're here this soon.
Anyways, you guys want to introduce yourselves and the department and your position?
Okay, I'm Amber Pallas. I'm going to be working at HHS front office. I will be handling insurance and eligibility.
And I'm Daisy Canales. I'm also working with HHS, and I'm going to be a floater for front support.
I'm Sarah Wall. I'm the new registered dietitian nutritionist, and I'm working between public health, primary care, behavioral health, so kind of blending all three. So I'll be at different sites for Lincoln County.
And I'm Gwen Kingery. I work for HHS, and I'm a secretary. I do the templates for the clinicians.
Welcome to you all.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Come back and see us again.
We hope you enjoy working for us. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay, move down to. We have no public hearings. We have no decision in action, so we get on to discussion and information. Consideration of an Economic Development Alliance of Lincoln County Economic Development Grant Recommendation. So, who's going to come? Yep.
Come on forward, Carol.
Please introduce yourself.
Good morning. Caroline Bauman with Economic Development Alliance of Lincoln County. We've passed on the recommendations. The Board of Directors of the Economic Development Alliance ordinarily takes the grant applications at the time that they are due. In this year, it was November 16th, and then they consider the grants at their December regular board meeting and do their list of recommendations based on a point system, a scoring system that our board has put together, and we forwarded the results to the Board of Commissioners recommending the top point getters in all of the applications, and during our meeting the board talked about all of the grants, but also talked about their rationale on their scoring and why they scored the way they did. They ended up not making any changes to the list that came out of their scoring, and that was the list that was forwarded on to you. With seven grants being recommended, the total simply of what the grant applications asked for was $103,822, and normally the board would, you know, make adjustments and bring it to the number of $100,000 one way or another. But in this case, they thought, why not just forward this amount, and then the Board of Commissioners could have the ability to make adjustments, you know, if so desired. So that's something a little bit different this year. I believe there was 20 or 21 applicants this year, and that's about average. The amount that was requested was 201, so about 2-1 for a request versus recommended grant. And, you know, they did some discussion, which I'd be happy to share if you had questions about how they arrived at their recommendations.
Yeah. Yes. I've got a couple of questions. If
I yeah, sure.
First one
sure.
for Mr. Belmont, actually, and I don't know if you'd have the answer off the top of your head, or if not, you could bring it back when we're ready to make a decision on this. You know, often, as Caroline mentioned, we do add a project or two, but then I think one year, I don't know whether it was last year or recently, we were a little concerned about how flush this fund was and how stable it was, we didn't add anything. So I'd just like a sense at some point of whether, from a fiscal perspective, you think we could add anything if we even wanted to do that.
I don't have the specific dollar amounts yet. I know we just actually, yes, I could come back to you with that. I would assume that you probably could make some minor adjustments if you wanted to. Obviously, you couldn't fund all of the requests that were made here, but if you wanted to make some, we can discuss that when you're ready to proceed.
Okay. Well, the question I have then for Caroline is, could you just talk about, you know, that we've got multiple criteria for this grant fund. We try to encourage wide geographic distribution of the money in the county and also try to balance both projects with a community development focus and an economic focus. Mm-hmm. Your general sense maybe that you could share with us of which factors, if any, were kind of most significant in the Alliance Board reaching this particular set of recommendations?
Yes, I think in the past few years, the board has been really trying to look at the economic impact more than they used to. Over the years, a lot of projects have been requested that would fall into maybe a capital project on some sort of a community center. Mm-hmm. And the board has to weigh those against the ones they think might have a stronger economic impact. So I know for sure that the top three on this list, the reasons their scores were much higher than the rest was they addressed, one of them addressed workforce directly, and so that was scoring high because of that. And then just whether it would build with a sector such as tourism that we're already working with as a county and strengthening that sector. And one of them had to do with housing, which has been recognized by our board as being it's been a limiting factor on the expansion of our economy in some ways. So these are some of the things that they use when they're putting their scores in. They score them on merit, and so the geography actually, other than during discussion, is not a factor because it's collaboration, whether their budget is sound, and a lot of things that they've tried to drill into nuts and bolts ways of evaluating the grants. And hopefully, you know, by the commissioners weighing in that geographic part, and you know, there's smaller grants here that they thought were worthy, but they just didn't want to change the scoring mechanism because of the sense of fairness.
Thank you.
Okay. So yes. I will ask a question on the same lines.
Yes.
What was the board's, and again, it's the board that's reviewing these applications, the Economic Alliance Board.
Right.
What were their feelings on a couple of areas? Number one, frequency of applications and receipt of funds, and second of all, size of the grants.
Yeah.
What was the board's thoughts on those two?
Well, they did bring up both of those topics during their discussion that day. You know, we do have institutions that are in the business of economic development and repeatedly are very well qualified for these grants. And so an example of that would be this year, Oregon Coast Community College. And so even though they do, they have been receiving a funding, it's always for a different project in a different part of the county. And so the board decided to look favorably on that one again. But they did talk it over before leaving it on the list, and through the Small Business Development Center arm of the community college is where our board normally puts its recommendation, or that's who the applicant ordinarily is. Sometimes it's the community college for their regular academic program. So there have been a lot of small grants from you guys and your source that has flowed to the community college and done great things there. But it is a concern that the money is not used by a variety of applicants when that happens. They're concerned about repeat applicants always getting the money because they're always worthy and write it well and have a worthy project. And the other issue was
dollar
what again?
Amount.
Oh, the dollar amount. There is, the board wishes that it was more than $100,000. Of course, we all do. But if there was some way of being flexible on the amount being able to be without the $15,000 cap, it could be that something with a larger impact might move forward that just is happening right now, you know, or this particular year. There might be some incredible program, but it would cost more like $40,000. And there's no flexibility in this grant program right now. So I think our board would like to open up a dialogue on, you know, real general issues, maybe even how could we find more money to put in the fund so that we might be able to have an equal number of grantees, but some of them be able to get larger amounts if that would be something that the county identified has the right impact with jobs in our economy.
Okay, well, as you know, I sit as a ex officio member on the board, so look forward to continuing those conversations.
Yes, we'd like to.
I think there's certainly value, and I don't see easy answers, but I think there's some value in looking at both those issues.
Yeah.
I think there's some value in trying to find out how we can make these grants available to a broader base.
Yeah.
Part of the program is you have outreach meetings where you go to the different areas and talk about the program in an effort to get a broader base of applications. So
yeah.
I know that effort is there, but again, I'd like to find a way, and I don't have a good answer at the moment, but find a way where we're able to broaden the base of that recipients of the funds outside of, as you point out, there are certainly organizations that by their design and by their success qualify frequently for funds. So how do we get more people involved? More
One step we did in that direction many years ago was to limit the application to 2 pages total. I think that was very valuable after we heard from some organizations that, hey, we don't have somebody with the skill or the time or the expertise to do a big, lengthy grant application, and we thought that would level the playing field, and I think it has helped, but I think any other ideas we can come up with to do further outreach, I'm sure interested in.
Well, excuse me, I'm just going to say a good point. I think the two-page application is of great value.
Yeah. I was one of the pushers for that, and I just ran over the numbers here. It looks like to me six of the applications come from outside of the Lincoln City, Newport area, so that's not bad. You've done a pretty good job of getting it out in here. Still, one of the things that I want to create is more subsidy, structural things, and less of the organizations, you know, just using it as a funding resource. The other thing is, I have no problem with $15,000 because what this grant was intended to do was to show that you had public support for the project and to go out and really get the money. So the limitation, to me, it doesn't bother me as much as not getting to the actual new job development side of it. We do, through the Small Business Administration Center, do a lot, but and that's broad-based, but I'd like to see more projects.
Yeah.
Come in that we can directly relate that these dollars help develop more jobs. So it's just my particular.
Well, and maybe when we talk with my board, we can talk about even soliciting grants and really getting people to apply the ones we want to apply and trying to forecast who those might be.
And I seem to bump into them a lot.
Yeah.
Sending you a lot of those kinds of things. I'm going to send you another one related to the Marine Science Center and the water system. I don't know if it's going to come through or not, but I've told them about it. There's another one on the Newport waterfront.
You bet.
They could develop some jobs in the future together with one of the local fish plants. These kinds of things are
very important.
Things that I'd like to see where there's jobs attached, like, say, at the end.
I would agree on that.
Yep.
And if I might, just to clarify, you talked about funding to the Oregon Coast Community College. I think it's important to note that it's really the one grant that is being recommended is to the Small Business Development Center for a media marketing studio, which would really be a second such studio, for lack of a better word, in the county, and this one would be in Newport. I believe this program funded a similar studio in Lincoln City.
That's correct. Two years ago.
2 years ago. So again, just to clarify, it's not necessarily going to the community college per se, but going to small business development activities, which I think are very effective in helping businesses thrive and create jobs in our county. So just wanted to make that point.
So let me look at you and ask you one question before we take the motion. They did go over by a little bit. Do we just want to leave it stand as it is?
I'm fine.
Well, Mr. Chair, this is only a discussion information item.
But we can have the discussion.
I was just saying.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
My initial inclination is to just leave it at that, the $103,822 recommended. But
And I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So since this is discussion and information, we bring that back.
It will come back either next week or 2 weeks, however much time you would like to.
Should we give it 2 weeks in case there's input? Or I'm fine either way, next week or 2 weeks.
It doesn't matter to me.
We'll come back in 2 weeks then.
Okay. Then with that, thank you very much.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Thanks to the board for their efforts.
I'll do that.
Take some time.
Please convey that.
So we move down to reports, and we have elected officials' reports. We have anything? And if not, commissioners' reports?
I don't have anything.
Start of a new calendar year, halfway through the fiscal year.
Good, let's move it. Okay, constituent input. Come on up. 5 minutes on any subject you'd like to talk about. Please identify yourself.
Jeff Doyle, Toledo Rural Fire Protection District, and just a happy new year to all of you. And I'm back, and I'm not going away. Ask for the same question. You know, just an update where we're at. I promise you an update. And so this year, 755 calls for Toledo Fire. That's two a day. That's a lot for a little volunteer fire department. Did not miss a call. Did not deny a call. Went on every call. So pretty impressive, I think. That's for your to remember that we have three paid folks, and the rest are volunteers. We have four, but one is out with cancer right now and battling that, and doing okay, but still it's a battle. Update on the station. We could still use help. We're at the point where our documents are getting done. We're testing the ground for viability of what how we can construct the building and stuff like that, but we're just about out of money. So for the project. Again, that was a project that was going to, we thought, impact the county and visitors to the county with a quicker response time out on the 20. It would be something we could visit about expanding our district out there to include the new 20, which is not in our district at this point, but we are still responding. Had some fatalities out there at the end of the last year that we responded to out of district. Frustrated, we're still swimming upstream a little bit, but hoping that Senator Roblin can reintroduce some legislation and maybe we can get that moving forward. That's not going to really impact this project, I think, because we really want to start construction this year if we can, somehow. It really needs to happen sooner than later.
On the new Highway 20, has the accidents decreased now since it's been there for a while? Have you noticed a difference in the amount of calls you're getting?
I wouldn't say decreased. It's there's still a lot of speed going on there. There's a lot of unreported things that go on. People that hit guardrails and then just don't report. There's not probably a high volume at this point. We'll see this winter because it gets very, very icy at the top. And the speed is still an issue. I know they have the OSP has their unmarked out there a couple times a week and different hours and still pulling over people like crazy. I don't know what it's going to take. It's another one of those, hopefully, that's not going to take a fatality to, you know, put up the thinking map for some people to slow down. It's been a great tool for people to get to the coast faster and to get to the valley faster, but you could get there faster by going the speed limit. So we just a reminder that building that we want to put out there is not only for response time for that, but also as a backup to the communication center here in case we do get the big one and this building is affected by tsunami or earthquake or whatever, you know, the big one we all hope doesn't happen, but certainly building that up with communications and thing is something that we're really looking forward to helping out with the county. And lastly, new legislation that started in the first was that all new building, new construction has to have 1.5% green energy built in. We were way over that already with our project. We were at 10 or 15%, somewhere in there, that we already had built into the porous asphalt that, you know, collects rainwater, the passive solar. So we've already built that in, so a little ahead of the curve on that. So we want that building there to be there for 60 or 70 years or more.
Yeah, excellent.
So
Thank you.
If I may ask,
sure.
Are there plans to have another barbecue out there in the summer?
Depends on how much, you know, cooperation we get, I guess, is whether we have hot dogs or steak. Is that what you're asking me?
I think I had a hot dog out there.
Okay.
So,
no, you know what?
Hot dog.
Honestly, you know, we need to redo the sign out there. It's gotten kind of, you know.
Yeah.
But we want to...
it's an opportunity for the community to learn more about the station, the services it provides, and provide some support.
And you know what, I think what's happened out there, quite honestly, is they've been hearing about this station for 10 or more years, and so they're just at the point of, well, when it happens, we'll believe it. Okay, and because that's what our consensus is with the people we talk about. Volunteers, we think we'll have even more volunteers out there, but to what? Now we're asking them to drive all the way for training, you know, to the station in Toledo. Well, we plan on that will be the district headquarters. So
it will happen.
We're confident. We just want to speed it up. But not to get a ticket.
Well said.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So, no executive sessions at that. We'll be back on Wednesday, 9:30 here at the Board of Commissioners room on January 10th.
That 2018.
2018. Did we get that?
Those are 2017.
Oh, we're getting there.
Well, if that's the only mistake we made all year, we're in business.
Well, just for the record.
We'll get it there.
Okay, I adjourned the meeting. Thank you for coming.